We'll discuss the races for governor and attorney general in Wisconsin and the issues that are shaping voters' opinions during this edition of On the Campaign Trail. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 28th. We will examine the latest results from the Marquette University Law School poll and welcome your questions and your reactions. By now, you've probably heard that the poll shows the race for governor in Wisconsin is still deadlocked, still in a dead heat. Governor Walker leads Democratic challenger Mary Burke among registered voters, but Burke leads Walker among likely voters. Why do you suppose this race is so close? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll and a professor of law and public policy. He is co-founder of pollster.com and founder of pollsandvotes.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So another poll, another dead heat, huh?
Yeah, it's almost getting boring, except it's so exciting. This is the third poll in a row, May, July, and now August, where the two candidates are inside the margin of error, which means really from a polling point of view, we can't be sure who's ahead, and where the change from 1 month to the next is also inside the margin of error. Governor Walker, among likely voters, led by three in May. Mary Burke led by one in July, and Burke leads by two this time by likely voters. Now, among registered voters, Walker led by one in May, Walker led by one both in May and in July among registered voters, and he leads by three in this poll. And the margin of error for the poll is 3.5 points. So that's inside the margin of error in all three of those, with very modest changes from one to the next.
Yeah, that is remarkable. Who are registered voters versus likely voters? What's the significance?
Sure. Well, of course, not everyone goes to the polls on election day. Turnout's less than 100%. In our data, we first interview people who are already registered. So everyone in our sample is at least registered to vote or tells us for sure they're going to register by election day. But then to filter for those who are most likely to come out to the polls, we ask a question, simply, how likely are you to vote? Are you absolutely certain? Very certain? Is it maybe 50-50 or is there a pretty good chance you won't go vote this time? So we define likely voters as those people who say they're absolutely certain to vote. There are very big differences between that group of people and those who say there's any chance at all that they won't go in terms of how closely people pay attention to politics, how much they follow political news, how aware they are of the candidates. Just to give an example, of those who are likely to vote, only 25% say they don't know much about Mary Burke. Among those who are not so likely to vote, an amazing 61% still say they know almost nothing about her. And so this division between the likeliest voters captures those people who are most engaged and really are, by all the research, far more likely to vote in November. On the other hand, the parties, of course, are trying to reach out to voters, trying to get those not quite so likely people to come to the polls. So there is an element there that's still at work. Still, those are our likely voters.
So what is your analysis of this? Why do we have this 3 month or three poll dead heat going on here?
Well, there are several things that are at work, and they kind of all come together to contribute to this. From a structural point of view, the first is the thing we've all talked about so much, and that's polarization in the state. So Republicans, really since January, have been quite strongly lined up behind Governor Walker, giving him over 90% of their support. So that's a strong base for him. But Burke has enjoyed the support of about 80% or a little over 80% of Democrats through the spring. But here over the summer, that's been rising. Among registered voters right now, it's up to 89%. So that gives her a strong base among Democrats as well. Put those two together, and it means both candidates already have their bases pretty much in line behind them. And since the two bases are similar in size, that looks like a competitive race. And finally, those independents and moderate voters are splitting in somewhat different directions. So as a result, they don't all go one direction or the other. They're split a little bit. There's some issues that are pushing in the governor's favor as well, other issues that are pushing in Burke's favor. And so it's not like every issue in the state is all favoring one candidate or all favoring the other.
All right. So what issues are pushing in the governor's favor?
The most obvious ones are things about the broad direction of the state. So we ask, is the state headed in the right direction or has it gotten off on the wrong track? 54% say it's headed in the right direction. 42% say it's off on the wrong track. That's a majority that say right direction. Normally, that's a pretty strong indicator for an incumbent. We also ask, is the state budget in better shape than it was a few years ago? 45% say better shape, 26% say about the same. Only 22% see the budget in worse shape. Again, something the governor talks a lot about, having inherited a budget deficit, having acted on it. He sees that as one of his strengths, and the data seem to support that. And finally, we asked a question trying to sum everything up. We said, thinking about all the changes that have taken place in state government in the last 4 years, would you say the state's better off in the long run or worse off in the long run because of that? And 51% say better off, 43% say worse off. So I think if you put those three items together, you come away with the notion that a little bit over 50% see the state as headed in the right direction, in pretty good shape. Something in the low 40s, 40% range, think, no, we have real problems. We haven't solved our issues. But the net effect of that is a pretty good situation for an incumbent to be able to point to on these broad themes.
Mm-hmm. So what are the issues that are favoring Mary Burke?
Jobs continues to be a controversial issue. We've been asking a question for really a couple of years now. Do you think Wisconsin is creating jobs faster than other states, about the same rate as other states, or lagging behind other states? In July, 51% said we were either keeping up or creating jobs faster. 43% said we were lagging behind. That 43% is about where that number has been for really most of the last year or so. But in this poll, that bumps up to 48% saying lagging behind and down to about 42 or 3% saying we're keeping up or doing better. So that's the first time that's moved into a net negative territory with more people saying lagging than saying at least keeping up. I wouldn't overplay it, but what we've seen over the last month in the campaign commercials is both campaigns clearly committed to making the election about jobs. Governor Walker making the argument that the jobs picture is looking up and that he's been pretty successful with it. Mary Burke pushing the theme that over the first 3 years, at least, of the administration, we're 10th in the Midwest out of 10 in job creation. So we really have a dueling pair of campaigns about what the jobs picture is. But over the last month, somewhat more people, 5% more people to be exact, have moved in Burke's direction and her view of this rather than the governor's view.
Are there any other major issues that Mary Burke has the edge on besides this jobs question?
Yeah, I do want to add in, we also asked which would be better, as governor, which candidate would be better for jobs as governor? It's a dead tie, 45-45. So again, you see that. other kinds of things, minimum wage, which Mary Burke favors raising the minimum wage, Governor Walker opposes, a solid majority, about 56-57% support increasing the minimum wage. Also expanding Medicaid in the state, an issue that has received a bit more prominent discussion in the last month, shows a solid majority, 58% think we should accept federal money to expand Medicaid. Just 29% oppose that. And finally, on the casino, which again has become opening a casino in Kenosha, we've seen a little movement in that. It's now 49, say the governor should approve it, 35 that he should reject it. But southeastern Wisconsin, the broad Milwaukee media market, now shows a solid 60% in support of the casino, including 60% of the city of Milwaukee, which is a bit of a move. So Mary Burke has not said whether she would approve it or not, simply saying that she would have decided by now. Governor Walker is studying the issue, has economic consultants working on it, but it's now just past the one-year anniversary that originally a decision was supposed to be made.
We are talking with Charles Franklin, who directs the Marquette University Law School poll and just released a new poll results yesterday on the race for governor. Many of the issues involved in the race for governor, and we'll also talk about the race for attorney general in Wisconsin, and we will welcome your questions and your reactions. Why do you suppose this race for governor in Wisconsin is still in a dead heat? And what are the issues that are most important to you in the race for governor? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are on the campaign trail talking about the new Marquette University Law School poll results with Charles Franklin, who directs this poll, and welcoming your questions, welcoming your reactions to the poll results, showing another dead heat between Governor Scott Walker and his Democratic challenger, Mary Burke, talking about the various issues that are shaping our opinions in this race. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I do want to get into the race for attorney general in just a moment, Professor Franklin, but let's talk a little bit about the news that President Obama is going to be in Milwaukee on Monday, Labor Day, attending Labor Fest in Milwaukee. First time since he was first campaigning that he's attended this particular event. What's the significance of what's President Obama coming to Labor Fest for?
Well, presumably to stir up Democratic support a little bit in a Democratic area. President Obama's job approval has fallen a bit nationally. His approval nationally is about 40.5% right now. Here in the state, he does a little better than that. In our most recent poll, 44% approve of the job he's doing, but 48% disapprove. A net negative 4, but that's not as bad as the net negative about 10 that he faces nationally. In solidly Democratic Milwaukee, remains a fairly popular figure. So there's that. Maybe he also feels like he needs a chance to come out and hit the campaign trail a little bit, but a little less facetiously. A lot of this election in the fall is about turnout. Democratic turnout traditionally falls off in midterm elections. Turnout is a good deal lower, from 500,000 to nearly 1 million lower turnout, 900,000 lower anyway, in 2010 compared to 2012. So for Democrats, rallying the troops, getting people fired up and out to the polls is a a perennial campaign problem for them in midterm elections. So a president is uniquely able to attract, and motivate the people within their party and their party base.
Yeah. Is there any thoughts on whether his appearance, is this going to help or hurt Mary Burke?
Well, you know, somewhat prominently, the last time he was in the state, she was on the other side of the state at an event and said, well, their schedules just didn't mesh. I think in those segments of the state, particularly Republican voters, who are not big fans of the president, any association of the president with Mary Burke is seen as an opportunity to attack. But I think that underappreciates the fact that within the party, the president is still quite a popular figure. His national job approval is still up in the 70%, 75% range among Democrats nationwide, and similarly high here in the state. So I think in part you're seeing here an issue of what happens within the party, where the president is a real positive asset, versus the way he's portrayed and seen in the other party that deeply disagrees with him. A little bit of the same happened with President Bush, where the shoe would be on the other foot during his second term. Many Republicans could still rally to his side at a time when Democrats were the ones thinking him so deeply unpopular that he was an effective issue to use.
Yeah, and according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Mary Burke will also be attending Labor Fest. It's unknown whether there's going to be some sort of joint speech or joint appearance or what. The details aren't clear yet, but we did post some information on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. How about whether or not the president coming to Wisconsin in any way signifies how important the race for governor in Wisconsin is nationally?
I think that is something that perhaps people in the parties, but certainly the national press, have awakened to over the last month or so. We've seen a series of half a dozen to a dozen national news stories coming out about the state's race. I think this was a race that a lot of national prognosticators thought Governor Walker had won the recall. He would probably win fairly easily in this race. The people that follow races nationally originally rated the race either likely Republican or at the very least leans Republican. I'm not aware of any of them that have it as anything other than a toss-up at this point. And so there has been a change in view there. A lot of the national focus is on the Senate because Republicans need to pick up 6 Senate seats to take control of the U.S. Senate. That would be a very big institutional deal because it would mean Republicans control both the House and the Senate vis-a-vis a Democratic president. So a lot of attention has focused there. But in the last 2 or 3 months, as we've seen the evidence of this race becoming so tight, I think Wisconsin has risen to one of the top 2 or 3 gubernatorial races nationally, and arguably the top 1 or 2.
Yeah, and certainly you touched on it when you talked about why this race is so close. But I guess how did that happen? That it most of the national pundits thought this is Governor Walker's race. It's gonna be a Republican win here too. And now it's a toss up.
Well, part of it is certainly that if you don't know anything else, you knew simply that you have an incumbent running for reelection. That incumbent has, as all incumbents do, substantial financial advantages. And then just toss in, oh, and by the way, he won a recall election by 6.8 percentage points 2 years ago. I think if you didn't, if that evidence on its face would say that's an incumbent who's advantaged for reelection. But elections are also about the candidates and the issues of the campaign. And here we see that Governor Walker, whose job approval rating has hovered at 49.9% through the first 3 years of his administration has dipped down just a little bit. It's about 47 or 48 in our recent polling. It's certainly not falling rapidly, but it's also not rising above 50%. And so it suggests that despite the success of the recall, either Wisconsin is still so evenly divided or there are enough questions in voters' minds about how the state's doing and particular decisions and the governor himself. And credit Mary Burke with running an effective campaign and being an appealing candidate at this point. All of that mixes together, and so it's not just about incumbency and money.
We will continue talking about issues on the campaign trail and the issues that are shaping voters' opinions in the state of Wisconsin, and the latest results, the head-to-head matchups between Governor Walker and his Democratic challenger, Mary Burke, in the race for governor in Wisconsin. I promise after the news, we'll talk a little bit about the race for attorney general. The winner of the Democratic primary, Susan Happ, is leading the Republican candidate for AG, Brad Schimmel. We'll talk more about that coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine with Charles Franklin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So who would get your vote for governor if the election were today and why? And what about for the race for attorney general in Wisconsin? Have you made up your mind on that one? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, August 28th. Every week at this time, we examine issues that are making news on the campaign trail. And today, we are talking about the latest results from the Marquette University Law School poll with the poll's director, Charles Franklin, who is also a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University. And we are welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your views on the races for governor, attorney general, the issues that are in those races. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And to recap for those listeners just joining us, Charles Franklin, the Marquette University Law School poll is a poll that you are doing on a regular basis leading up to the election. Tell us some of the very briefly the methodology.
Sure, this is the 23rd poll we've done since 2012. By the way, we interview just about 800 voters, 815 registered voters. We contact them by landline and by cell phone. Cell phone makes up about 38% of this month's sample. They're interviewed by live interviewers, those are the big highlights,
yeah,
I think.
We did have some callers who were wondering about methodology and political makeup. That comes up. Who's in the sample? Are you know, more Democrats than Republicans or what?
Sure. Well, our sample is, in this particular case, 27% Republican, 32% Democratic, 38% independent. It happens that this month's sample, those numbers are exactly what they are over the long-term average for the state. So there are a few more Democrats than Republicans. There's a lot of independents. Some of those independents lean Republican, some lean Democratic. But actually, that splits about evenly with about 16% leaning Democratic and 16 or so leaning Republican.
Yeah. Okay, so there's some of the demographics and methodology. Now we want to know what views you have on why do you think the race for governor is so close in the state of Wisconsin? Again, it's pretty much in a dead heat. Tied, and the leads are within the poll's margin of error. What about the race, though, for attorney general? This is the first look at that race, Charles Franklin.
And the most critical thing there is how little voters know about the two candidates, Susan Happ and Brad Schimmel. 82% of voters said they didn't know enough about Susan Happ to either have an opinion about her, favorable or unfavorable. 87% said the same about Brad Schimmel. Now, Happ, of course, just won the Democratic primary, winning all 72 counties and 52% of the vote statewide, whereas Schimmel did not have a primary opponent, and therefore maybe it's understandably a little less visible. Nevertheless, I think it's striking that over 80% say that they don't know enough about either of them to have an opinion. Just to put that in perspective, when Mary Burke first got in the governor's race in October last year, 70% didn't know enough about her. That's now down to 35%, but still 35%. So these two attorney general candidates have a long ways to go to introduce themselves to voters, and they have to do that in the shadow of a governor's race that's going to consume a lot of attention. Now, we did ask about how would you vote if the attorney general's race were today. And for that question, we say if you were voting for attorney general and the candidates were Susan Happ, the Democrat, and Brad Schimmel, the Republican. So in that way, we let people know which name goes with each party, something that on the favorable and unfavorable name recognition, we don't give them that information. And that vote is among registered voters, 40% for Happ, 33% for Schimmel, but an important 24% who say they don't know how they would vote in that race. And among likely voters, the numbers are quite similar, 42 for Happ, 32 for Schimmel, and again, 23% don't know. I think at this point, the horse race question is, you know, has to be looked at in the context that neither of these candidates is well known at this stage. But it certainly sets the stage going forward as both of these candidates introduce themselves and as voters come to understand what differentiates them.
Yeah. I guess because it's somewhat interesting that we have a woman running for attorney general and a woman running for governor. I'm not sure if that's happened anytime recently. I don't think it has. What about, is there a gender gap indicated in the poll?
There is one, and it's a little bit striking and interesting, I think. So the simple way to say it is men lean Republican, women lean Democratic, and that's a pretty good rule of thumb in these. If you look at the governor's race, Governor Walker is winning among men with 54% to 39% for Mary Burke. But among women, Burke is winning 49% to 42% for Walker. That's among registered voters. But when we shift to likely voters, it becomes a bigger gap and a more symmetrical gap. For men likely voters, it's 40% for Burke, 57% for Walker. But for women, it's 56% for Burke, 38% for Walker. So about an equal gap going in opposite directions. But for the attorney general's race, it's a little less symmetric. There among men, it's 34% for Happ, 40% for Schimmel, a 6-point margin. But among women, it's 44% for Happ, just 26% for Schimmel, a bigger gap than we're seeing in the governor's race, for example. And when you move to likely voters, those gaps actually increase a little bit among women, shrink marginally, very slightly among men. So it looks like the gender gap is playing actually a little bit bigger role in the attorney general's race, where voters don't know as much about the candidates yet, but it's playing a substantial role, but really an equal and opposite role in the governor's race right now.
Yeah. Well, you'd mentioned that perhaps Susan Happ was benefiting from some of the news coverage she received running in a primary and being the winner of that primary, as opposed to Brad Schimmel, who did not have a primary. What about just the... the results of this poll, were they at all influenced by, for example, the latest release of John Doe 2 documents affecting Governor Walker?
Those documents were only released late on Friday afternoon. By Friday night, we had finished 550 out of our 815 interviews. So for the majority of people in our sample, would have been interviewed either before they were released or certainly before news coverage had built up much about that. So there is certainly a possibility that that remaining 250 or so interviews on Saturday and Sunday could have heard about it, could have been affected by it. But we didn't, we won't know based on just this one sample. Looking ahead to the next poll in just a few weeks, we should be able to see how this develops. We had asked about the John Doe investigation in the July poll and found 53% said it was just more politics. 42% said it was really something serious. We did not include it on this poll, not knowing that those documents were going to be released Friday night. But we will be able to look in September in our next poll and see whether opinion on that issue has shifted at all.
Yeah. Well, putting on the political scientist hat, what is the could it be harmful or not to Governor Walker that there are some headlines that say things like Governor Walker diverted big donors to give to a third party group, or you know, Governor Walker wasn't aware that a mining company that donated $700,000 to this particular outside group.
I think those are issues that can be used by the Burke campaign in particular as a place to frame the issues of the governor and his handling of his office. And so they can certainly keep coming up independent of anything that's happening in the court, simply as an issue that keeps coming up. We did ask some questions that weren't about the John Doe, but which are at least related about advertising and campaign finance. Our question was, groups advertising campaigns, should they be required to list their biggest donors at the end of the advertisement, which goes directly to the issue of disclosure of donors by independent groups? 76% said they should be required to disclose their donors. 21% said they should not. And then as an experiment, for half the sample, we described the groups as out-of-state groups rather than simply groups. And then in that case, support went up to 83% for disclosure. I think based on these two questions, at least, it seems that public opinion is still very solidly on the side of open disclosure of campaign contributions and the use of that in political advertising. But this is an area where the law, as interpreted by the U.S. Supreme Court, has been shifting a lot in terms of corporate donations, in terms of independent expenditures. And I think it's something worth watching over the long term, not just for our particular races, but because of what it says about how we finance campaigns and how the role of money as a form of protected First Amendment speech butts up against a public opinion which still sees a need for some limits and for disclosure.
We're talking with Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, about the latest poll in terms of the race for governor, for attorney general, and the public policy issues that are being debated and discussed on the campaign trail. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or a view, no one apparently wants to weigh in on why they think this race is so close, or whether is there anyone listening that has not made up your mind on the race for governor or for attorney general? What do you think will be the issues that will determine the outcome of these races? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. During this edition of On the Campaign Trail, we are talking with Charles Franklin, who is the director of the Marquette University Law School poll, about the latest poll results in the race for governor and on many issues, and welcoming your input at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, summer's just about over, and people will be getting back from their vacations and going back to school. And do you see interest in the governor's race picking up after Labor Day?
Oh, I certainly think so. It's not that people are terribly uninterested in it, but summer is, of course, a time of other diversions. And traditionally, Labor Day is the starting mm-hmm. gate. Now, it's not anymore. We've started a long time ago, but I think interest will pick up. Certainly, the campaign, both campaigns had been relatively low-key into July, but since mid-July or even a little earlier, both campaigns have ramped up their advertising. They've ramped up their rhetoric and counter-rhetoric, so the back and forth between them is higher. We've begun to see outside groups beginning to buy advertising in the state a little more. There was some in the winter, but not sustained. So I think we're in for a much more active next 2 months and a couple of days.
So school starts on Tuesday. So you did ask about an education issue, the Common Core standards.
Yeah, in the last month, Governor Walker announced in a one sentence press statement that he would ask the legislature in January to reject Common Core standards for schools and presumably create a new standard somehow. We had asked about Common Core back in January. And at that point, 36% said they'd heard nothing at all about Common Core. Now that's down to 26%, so a 10% decline in that. And the percent saying they knew quite a bit about it, which is only 20% in January, has climbed to 28%. So there has been some change in the public awareness, though it is still hardly a front burner issue for most voters. Interestingly, though, despite that change, Common Core was supported by 50% to 34% in January, and in our latest poll, 50% to 34%, the same split. So while awareness has gone up, net approval has not changed at all.
We talked some about President Obama coming to Labor Fest in Milwaukee on Labor Day, and Democratic candidate Mary Burke also being at Labor Fest in Milwaukee on Labor Day. What does the poll say about Act 10? How do we feel about Act 10?
Divided. Surprise, surprise. We did ask, Act 10 has a lot of parts to it, so we didn't try to ask about all of them. We asked it, as you may know, Act 10... mostly eliminated collective bargaining rights for public workers. Would you like to see those collective bargaining restored to what it was before Act 10, or would you like to keep it as it is now? 44% would like to restore bargaining rights. 46% would keep it as it is. Just before the recall, keep it as it is was just a little bit higher. And support for repealing Act 10 was also slightly higher. So there's not a lot of change. Clearly, though, we remain very evenly split on that issue.
Yeah, just like the race for governor.
Yes.
Let's take a call or two before we wrap up. Dave in Caledonia. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. Usually an incumbent governor has about a 10-point lead in the polls, and it's essentially dead even. Considering a margin of error of usually about 4 or 5% on how popular the governor has been, why the cutback on his popularity?
Yeah, it varies, of course. There are unpopular incumbents as well. I think the striking thing with Governor Walker, though, has been that over the last 2 years, the first 2 years, or almost 3 years of his term, his approval rating got as high as 51% and as low as 47 or 48, but it stayed within a very narrow bound. And in fact, it's still in that narrow range, though it's at the moment at the lower end of that, about 47 or 48%. So this is not the case of a governor who was wildly popular with approval ratings in the upper 50s or 60s, which some governors around the state have in the country have reached. Instead, he's a governor who has been a bit more approved than disapproved of most of his time, but the split has been pretty narrow, and disapproval has always remained relatively high in the low to mid 40s. So I think what we're seeing is a state which is awfully set in its views of the governor, and we're really looking at very modest marginal shifts in that, which are electorally important. It's what is supporting the horse race at this point. But whereas other governors in Ohio, for example, or in Michigan, we've seen swings of 10, 15, even 20 points in their job approval ratings. We've not seen Governor Walker cover anything more than about a 3 or 4 point range.
So what, if anything, is going to shift the needle?
I'd like to believe that a lot of the campaign debate will actually play a role in this, that as the campaigns lay out their cases in competing ads, as half of us yell at the TV for one of the ads and yell at the TV for other ads, that we will nevertheless spend a little time thinking about what the strengths and weaknesses of these two candidates are. And certainly the campaigns will try to encourage us to think about those things. And we will see how well each side convinces us to see their strengths and the other side's weaknesses. And hopefully a little bit of policy debate will work its way in there.
Mitch in Madison. Hi, Mitch.
Hi. I was calling because I wanted to ask if you think with the John Doe, how it would affect this poll if more information comes out from that. I was just reading the other day that one of the checks that was made out to Wisconsin Club for Growth, the memo line said, Walker is 501c4. That clearly seems illegal.
The thing here is that we had the large document dump of emails from the first John Doe in the early summer. And again, we didn't see big movement in the evaluations of the governor there. I already mentioned that more people say this is just politics. But I think the move, this could move depending on developments and depending on how much people believe that it's really important versus believe it's a distraction.
And we have just a minute to go. I don't know. What do you think might wind up being the difference maker in this election?
Well, Mary Burke's image still has a ways to go with forming with the public. Only 35% now say they don't know much about her, but that's still 35% that have yet to make up their mind. As we've seen her recognition go from 70% don't know now down to half that, 35, her favorability ratings have risen slightly but have basically been flat over the last three polls. So at the moment, as people come to know her, it's neither making her much more favorable nor much less favorable. How that plays out till November is going to be worth watching.
Well, I'm sure we will talk again. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Justin Williams for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.